Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to The Catch-Up. I'm joined by my 5'8", my sparring partner. You were missed last week, I think. Guru, welcome back to the hot seat for The Catch-Up.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Had a little stint in reserve grade. Coach Cat gave me a few things to work on, so I've gone away, honed in on my craft, done a couple of extras and whatnot. Obviously, Winston came in and absolutely smashed it out of the park. I feel a bit like poor old Lockie Elias at the moment, been dropped to reserve grade. I think I should be in first grade. Now I've got my opportunity to prove myself again. So yes. I'm going to try and take full advantage of it, Kathmandu.
I think as fun as it is to get creators and people in the social realm on here, the truth is people also really want to get your reactions to some of these clips because there are some really good ones in store today and stuff that I made sure you had not seen. Yeah. So the reactions will be raw. And like I said, there's a few really funny things. Funny, exciting, different things that happened from this weekend's footy. So very much looking forward to that.
I do think on that note though, I think for people out there, if there are rugby league content creators that you might like to see on here,
yes, definitely.
This is a rotating seat. So we would like to get some, we've got a few lined up, a few in mind over the next few weeks, but I think anyone that can come in and replace me that you guys want to see, I think that'd be good for the show, Kat.
I agree. And by all means, let us know who you would like to see on the show. But I think we've also got a few surprises in store in terms of a different approach to the catch-up as well. The catch-up is we're going out of the studio. We're going to try something a little bit different, but I'm not going to give anything away. No clues. You'll just have to wait and see, but it will be very, very good.
I'm not going to give anything away either, but Kat has hit this one for six. And this is one that I won't be there for. I don't plan to be there for it. But this is one that I will also be sitting on the couch at home watching this one back because I reckon this is going to be a cracker. Yeah. It's a great idea.
Yeah. The only clue I will give is that when I told Guru what it was, I think he said he would definitely be busy that day.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
I would love to be there to watch it, but I'm too scared to be around it because I'm scared I'll get dragged into it. So I think I'll be staying as far away as I possibly can. I'm doing anything that day.
Yeah. I'm washing my feet that day. So before we jump into, as I mentioned, the hilarious clips that have come out this weekend with all the footy games that we had and all the things that the great creators like Roasty are doing, let's just touch on our clip that I think did pretty well last week and it was what could have been a really bad omen for Tom Trbojevic, but it ended up being a good one.
Yeah. By some weird turn of events, you snapping Turbo at the legs actually turned out to be a great omen for him. He went out and had his best Supercoach score of the season so far against the Penrith Panthers of all teams. They knocked over Penrith at home. Honestly, there was not a universe where I saw that being a good omen for the Manly Seagulls, for Tom Trbojevic, for anyone. But turns out it was. And it'll probably be on social media by the time people are watching this. But you got a little package in the studio today as well.
I did. You walked in and you brought something that was sent to you. And it's
Well, sent to, it was actually sent to you via me.
This is true. Well, there is a specific mention of me to be careful with this said item. But I like that we may have started a little thing here.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it on social media, the great socials team over at the Parramatta Eels, led by James over there, champion fella, sent us over a Regan Campbell-Gillard bobblehead, and I think the expectation was for us to break his legs in the hope that he would score 100 in Supercoach this weekend and knock over the North Queensland Cowboys. Speaking of Cat, I'm going to be at that game. You're away this weekend, so I've lost my partner in crime.
I know.
I've had to call in my best mate to do your job, so fuck, we'll see how that plays out.
Your other best mate.
My other best mate, sorry, yes, my second best mate. So, yeah, that'll be an interesting little ride there. Really tough when you get your best mate in to help you with work at an event where there's going to be free beer. So there's a Venn diagram here, and hopefully somewhere in the middle we can find some good content. But I'm nervous.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be at the Parramatta Eels game this week. They take on the North Queensland Cowboys. I'm going to be in the Field Club presented by Jim Beam. Be filming content and whatnot. This is the era I was in last year when I slapped Jermaine Hopgood up. Still haven't washed that hand yet, Kat. Bart Simpson styles. Never going to touch it again. But there is an opportunity for you guys to join me there as well. So we might just add the link in this description as well, Kat, after.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you go and fill out that link, there's a survey. Parramatta, they're trying to get some information from Eels fans. So if you're an Eels fan, go fill that out in there. And on Wednesday, I'm going to be getting on the phone and calling people that have potentially won the competition. So there's two passes to come to the game with me. So you and a friend, free drink, free food. You get to watch. It's the best game day experience in rugby league. And the Parramatta Eels have also put up a signed 2024 NRL jersey. So pretty awesome. Special stuff there. So the link's in the description. Make sure you go and check that out, fill it out, and hopefully you can come and join me. Me and my best mate, we're going to be having a real good time there. This is last time we were there, I slapped Jermaine Hopgood up. We went out at halftime. I think we get to go on the field at one point when they run out. So it's going to be a pretty cool experience. And a bit of a tough day for me, Kat, because as you know, my Supercoach draft team is made up of 80% North Queensland Cowboys.
Oh, no.
So there might be a bit of content around that coming.
Yeah, I think it'll be a tough watch for you because you obviously want – I assume you want Parra to win when you're in an environment like that, but you want your North Queensland boys to perform as well.
Look, in an ideal world, Parramatta win this game 52-50 and we get a lot of points. That's what I'm kind of hoping for. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Well, I will be at the Storm Bulldogs game down in Melbourne. This is my first time going to a rugby league game down there. So I'm looking forward to what the experience is like in the alternate reality that is Melbourne, where footy is AFL. And they view things a little differently. So I am looking forward to that. But I'm predicting a slightly different scoreline to that one.
Yeah, I hope we're wrong, but yes, as am I. Have you been to Melbourne before?
Oh, so many times. Just never been to a rugby league game down there. Yeah.
I've only been to one rugby league game there. We went down there for a Melbourne Cup. I've been to a lot of Melbourne Cups down there, to be fair. But one of the Melbourne Cups we went to, there was a game of footy on that weekend, the Tri-Nations. It would have been maybe – it was actually the year – it was the day that Dylan Walker and Alex Johnson made their debut for the Kangaroos. That day we were there for that one, so that was pretty cool. I think they were – remember the Kangaroos for a very brief period of time, they wore like a blue and maroon jersey? That was that game we were down there for. It's funny, Sione Matatia made his debut that day as well. And my best mate who's coming to me – come with me to the footy on the weekend, at the start of 2014 he was playing Toyota Cup. So under-20s for the Newcastle Knights, and the coach stood up at the front at the start of the season and said, look, reality is one or two of you might play first grade this year. Sione Matatia was in that group. He was playing for the Kangaroos by the end of the season.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Crazy.
I bet your mate was disappointed it wasn't him that his coach was referring to.
Yeah, he's still pretty filthy about it. Still not stoked about it. He actually had him growing up, very lucky, playing Harold Matson SG Ball for the Newcastle Knights. He was playing 5'8", and his edge, so the guys on his side, he had Tevita Pangai Jr. and Sione Matatia. So Nick looked like an absolute superstar. One of the great facades of all time there, just quietly.
Yeah, I'm guilty of the old facade as well, if I'm honest.
You haven't met Nick yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, geez, you two are going to get along like a house on fire. Shit me.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
All right. We talked scorelines just before.
Yeah,
This is the perfect transition to talking about that Roosters-Bulldogs game on Friday night. talk to me your thoughts on that game, because you are an unofficial Roosters supporter. How did you feel heading into that clash against the Bulldogs? And when we'd provided our tips just a day before, I think we were both very much skewed towards Roosters just dominating in that game. But at least for that first half, that was not the case at all.
Yeah, that game was off its head.
Yeah,
that's like very few things I've seen before. It actually, like obviously when I'm watching the games, I've got the laptop out, I'm doing notes and all that sort of stuff. And I got to the end of that game and I looked up and it was 8:15 and I just went, mate, I'm exhausted.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely gassed. I don't want to watch another game of football. It was unbelievable. It was funny, I was actually sitting there watching that game, and the game after that was the Newcastle Knights and the Dragons. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, all right, and I was like, who am I going to vice captain in my draft team? I thought, I'll vice captain Zach Lomax. The first game finished so late that those players were already locked out by the time. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I missed that. That's fucking great. Turned out all right for me. But yeah, that's how long that game went for, between HIAs, like injuries, sin bins, send offs. That game just had it all. I think there was 4 concussions and like 5 dudes have come out of that with probably month plus long injuries.
Yeah.
That was brutal. It was an unbelievable game.
Brutal is the word. I don't think I've seen that much consistent aggression in a game ever. And everyone was talking about it. But obviously you mentioned the concussions. I felt like I needed an HIA after watching it. But anyway, there was the sin bin, obviously, for Victor Radley, who I insert meme here. I mean, Victor Radley and sin bins almost. How many sentences contain both of those phrases?
Yeah, like white and rice, Victor Radley and sin bins. They go together very well. Look, and I know you all think I'm a Roosters fan and all that, but I personally didn't think this was a sin bin. And I think if it wasn't Victor Radley, and as much as this meme's taking the piss out of that, I think it's spot on.
Yeah.
I think quite often in rugby league cat, we sin bin things based on optics. The same thing happened to Chad Townsend later in the weekend. He got sin bin because it looked bad. It's an aggressive sport. Shit's going to happen. And as I said on Bloke yesterday, I reckon if it was Egan Butcher that made this tackle, I don't reckon he gets
wouldn't have been sent off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you. I do think Victor Radley, it's happens so many times, there's this kind of immediate association with him in a sin bin, and it's the easiest thing to do when something he does looks a little off.
And it's not just a Victor thing. Like, there's been guys in rugby league that this has been their situation. And, you know, the Roosters have another guy, Jared Rare Hargraves. Whenever he does something, you know, I think Latrell's in a similar boat, even though he got exactly what he deserved over the weekend for those actions. But previously, you're always going to have these guys in rugby league, and I think these guys in rugby league are going to become more and more common. Jack Hetherington for the Newcastle Knights, another one. He sneezes, they send him off the field. So it's just how it is, unfortunately. But yeah, I thought Victor was a little bit hard done by in this one.
Yes. I did a call out on social media saying, what do you want Guru to react to from social media this weekend? And I was inundated with requests to react to Dom Young shirtless, which there's been harder days at work, if I'm honest, Guru. But this clip, what was essentially a terrible decision on his part, a pretty poor performance for the few minutes that he was on the field, turned into a viral moment. Talk to me about it. Before I show you the clips, just talk to me about it, your thoughts.
Yeah. The one thing I remember from watching it live, and I'm sure this clip will show it, is the moment Dom Young's jersey actually gets teared open. I think you can see Dom Young in his face going, oh, this is going to work out okay for me here. This is good. I'm going to have a few weeks on the sideline, but respectfully, I think he's going to have a few fun weeks on the sideline off the back of this.
Gosh.
I'm sure his DMs would have been absolutely flooded. He's an absolute Adonis.
Yeah. I mean, the wind was working for him. Oh,
it was like a movie set.
Yeah, I know. Like, what did he pay the wind that night just to blow his shirt the way that it did? And people were laughing at, like, the smirk that he did as his shirt was being ripped and everything. There's so many things you could talk about. But I want you to watch that first clip that I've provided you, because I personally couldn't cope when I saw this.
He's loving it. He's not even upset about it. He's trying to pretend like he's upset about it. He's stoked. Absolutely stoked. I was watching my brother play on Sunday, and he was the grade above him. Alex Young played, Dom's brother.
Yeah.
And just seeing Dom in real life, He is enormous. He is just limbs everywhere. He's huge.
Yeah. No, I think he's one of the tallest in the comp by some margin as well.
It was funny. He was walking around in a Steph Curry jersey.
Yeah.
My old man goes, "Do you reckon Steph Curry shows up to his games in Dom Young jerseys?" I was like, oh, fuck.
No,
it's a bit uncalled for.
Stop. Okay. I want you to now watch the next clip because this one knocked me for six when I saw it. And I want you to look at the numbers on this clip as well. Over 300,000 likes, millions of views.
Wow.
Have a look.
What was he sent off for? Not leaving any pussy for the rest of them? Damn! That guy is gorgeous!
Who's that? That's all tall.
I don't know, but it was. She's just killed me. It's so funny.
That's very good. No, as I said, I don't think he was upset in the slightest that his jersey got torn open. Tough night for Dom Young. Genuinely, he was having such a tough night. It might have been better off he wasn't on the field.
I agree. I think probably the poorest performance I've seen from him.
Mate.
Just the missed tackles and I mean, let's be real. What he did to Blake Taff was not okay.
It was fucked. Like, obviously had nothing to do with it, but only a couple of minutes earlier, Blake Taff came up with a cracking tackle on him. He ran him down, Scott Sattler style.
Yeah.
But when you see those moments, like, all jokes aside, like, Blake Taff was unconscious when he was in the air still and just fell completely. Like, that was just absolutely sickening. We hope Blake is doing well because, God, he's a tough little hombre. No malice in it from Dom Young. Just got it completely wrong. And honestly, like, I've seen Blake Taff in real life before. Like, he's not the tallest guy in the world. I saw Dom Young in real life on the weekend. Huge. And, like, the absolute size of him, like, it doesn't overly shock me that he gets these things wrong here and there. He's obviously a supreme talent, Dom Young, but I think he's also got one of those bodies, Kat, where he's all limbs that, I imagine it would almost be hard for him to control at times.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, when you're running at a speed like that and you're obviously trying to stop a player, the likelihood of an elbow hitting a face when you are 200 centimetres tall, the probability has got to be relatively high there.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really, you know, it's easy to criticise him and everything when you're watching it in slow motion or your 15th replay, but it happens like that.
Exactly.
It happens so quickly. Exactly. And when you make a decision to shoot in like that, you've got to do it 100 miles an hour. Unfortunately, occasionally it's going to go wrong. Dom's done the time. He'll serve the crime. I didn't talk to him or anything the other day at the footy, but seems like a really nice young lad. So he'll be better for it, Dom Young. But you never like to see that in our game.
No, definitely not. But I just want to call out some of the hilarious comments. We'll link this video so you can go read the comments yourself. I just love when a clip out of context goes viral because there's comments like, why is this clip 3 hours long? Well, it's not, is it? Someone said, don't know what he plays or even the team, but I'm their number one fan now. What sport is this that I now support?
It took me back to last year, Kat. I think it was for New Zealand when Joey Manu lost his complete jersey.
This is very much a similar situation.
Once again, awful day to be Joey. I'm sure he would have been very disappointed.
Awful day to be a shirt on Joey Manu.
Wow.
Yeah, but we'll finish it off. We'll finish this piece off with one more comment, which is really funny. This man walks around with his own personal breeze for his hair and background music. Main character energy.
It's honestly like a TV commercial.
So they spend all this money to go to Vegas and grow the game. Yeah. All they need to do is a 15-second clip of Dom Young with his shirt ripped and it'll go viral.
You'd almost put a very shitty seam on his jerseys moving forward now on the chest. Just hope that it happens every few weeks. It'd be a great try celebration. Just Superman styles.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Unreal. No comment because I might be a few months into this job now, but I still don't want to get cancelled.
Yeah, play it safe.
Yeah, you can say whatever you like.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on because thank you everyone for suggesting that we watch that clip. We did. We loved it.
Did you get a few suggestions for it or what?
There's 90% of the requests. And a lot of our female friends who have never, ever asked me anything about rugby league before made sure to tell me to watch that clip for this episode. So that's fun.
Love your work, Dom. We'll see you in a few weeks, brother. How
yes,
good.
We will. We will. So now I want to talk about Roasty's content because he posted some really, really funny stuff over the weekend. But in particular, you mentioned that Knights game was the most torrential situation you've ever seen. It looked like they were playing in a pool, and then there was a clip of a guy eating a hot dog in the rain, and he just did – the rain did not bother him. He was like, I'm just going to consume this hot dog. I'm just going to go on my merry way. Like, the rain is not making the bread soggy, which is just disgusting. But did you see this?
I did see this, and let me start this by saying I have nothing but respect for those human beings, but – honestly, where are these people that are going to games like that, where, like that are wearing snorkels and shit? I respect it so much, but I've just never come across them in my life. No. They must be the best fun.
Yeah. I mean,
if they're that much fun in those shit conditions, imagine what they're like on a sunny Sunday afternoon having a beer at the pub. Like, they must be just absolute all-timers. I have no mates that are like this, but I really wish I did.
Oh, it's gold. It really is gold. And we've put the clip up here where you can see a little bit of it. But I just – the mullet, the passion behind the consumption of the hot dog, it's just beautiful, truly. And then on top of that, there was also another clip that was posted of someone watching the Warriors play – on the top of a mountain.
And sorry, I just saw this clip. I got tagged in this like 8 times thinking it was me.
No.
I copped it left, right. Yeah, I got tagged. I got this sent to me and tagged in a heap. So I know what you're all thinking. He's a handsome devil, a little bit like Dom Young. So I appreciate your tags. Thank you. How good.
You got tagged in the wrong video. It should have been the Dom Young one.
Yeah, you know they got like 10,000 people to this game. How unbelievable is that to pull 10,000 people on a Friday night – in those conditions, Newcastle, man, they just get it.
Yeah, they just get it. And I think similar to the Waz,
yep,
they've got a very, very passionate following. You do see people taking the trip to go and support their team, but watching at the top of a mountain on your phone makes me think, where is the most extreme place you've watched a game of footy?
Yeah, really good question. Probably not anywhere overly extreme. I do remember, though, when I was how old would I have been? I probably would have been in year 9 or 10, maybe like year 10 or 11, and I remember I was on a holiday with mum in Vietnam, and we're in Vietnam and the footy was on, and I remember, and this would have been like 08 maybe, 07, 08. It was when Stacey Jones came back to play for the Warriors. I still remember the game. It was Warriors Roosters. And I was trying to catch up on – I was trying to keep track of it. I was trying to watch it. I couldn't find anywhere to watch it. And I remember sitting in a Vietnamese internet cafe, not watching the game. KO didn't exist or any of that stuff. I was literally just refreshing the NRL.com, watching it tick over. And I believe – the game was insane. It was something like 37-36 or something, high-scoring affair. So it just kept ticking over. And for an hour and a half, I sat in this Vietnamese – fucking internet cafe. No one else spoke a word of English in this thing. Just updating. And when I first got on the computer, it was in Vietnamese. The lady came over and realized and kept running through, like she eventually worked out English was the one that I wanted on. So then I was able to watch it tick over and everything. And I think Stacey Jones kicked a field goal at the end to win it. So that's probably my personal one, weirdest one, is I remember sitting in there on my own. Mum was like, fuck this, I'm going anywhere other than here. This is awful. Cigarette smoke just covering the whole place. It was rank. I do know that my good mate that you may know as Kenan Demp of Bloke in a Bar fame, he was in Europe last year when the World Cup was on. And I know that there was one evening where him and his beautiful wife Amelia went to a very expensive and fancy restaurant that they'd booked, I think, a few months in advance, Kat, without realising that, of course, that night, I think the Kangaroos played one of the smaller nations. I can't remember who it was, but they beat them by like 6 or something. And I know that Kempe sat in that restaurant with his phone leaning against an expensive bottle of wine watching the game there. That is the sort of commitment that you need to have to get to where Kempe is. So probably those two come to mind for me. I'm sort of shooting a bit of a blank on this one. Have you got any that you, any of your mates or anything? Oh, I've had a lot of mates that I've seen like that are watching them like when they're out at a club or whatever. Mm. Got it on their phone.
Oh, yeah. No. I am very much guilty. I think it's the classic wedding, right? Like so many – because weddings always fall on a Saturday or a Sunday, sometimes a Friday. I'm sorry. They usually clash with a game. And if you play any kind of super coach or fantasy, you need to tune in to some extent. So definitely guilty of that. But I think I've set the boundary with my friends. They expect that from me. But I did get in trouble with a friend one time. It wasn't rugby league. It was a Liverpool game. It was a very crucial Premier League game. And it was her birthday and we were in the club. And I was just dancing in the circle, just staring down at my phone, watching this game. And I remember she took me aside and she was like, do you even want to be here?
How do you go on the dance floor? What's your sort of go? Like, are you center of attention? Now, are you just sort of blend in?
Definitely not center of attention, but at the same time, I say that, but I'm Lebanese, right? Okay. So certain types of music might make me the center of attention. But in general, I'd say that my approach to dancing is decent. I have been asked in the past if I was a hip hop dancer.
Really?
I kid you not. I was at a.
I can see that.
Stop.
I can see that.
It's the baggy jeans.
I can see it. Yeah.
It's my style, and the shoes that I wear definitely could be mistaken as a hip hop dancer, but I don't have that same kind of coordination.
I didn't want to bring that up, but I was interested to see if you would.
Yeah. I've got rhythm, not coordination. So don't tell me how to dance. Just ask me to dance. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think you were hit with the rhythm stick. The coordination stick missed you. I think the coordination stick hit me, but the rhythm stick missed me by a country mile. The rhythm stick missed me by about a postcode, unfortunately.
So I could tell you what moves to do and you could do them, but you wouldn't know when to do them.
Oh, you know what? I'm probably overselling my coordination, to be fair. So, yeah, no, dancing not really my thing. So when I keep losing footy tips on bloke and have to dance and do the chicken, thank God I have to do the chicken dance. Because if I had to step outside of that realm, I'd be in serious curry.
Yeah, no. Look, the dub care, which is the Lebanese style dancing, very simple. Very, very simple. It's all about the music. So I think that's probably where our abilities cross over.
Yeah, I still think I'm underselling how poor I am at this, but anyway.
I don't think you realise how simple the dub game is.
No, we'll see.
I think one day we'll put that to the test. But
I have no doubt whatsoever we will never do that. But well, you can keep trying, I'm all for it.
Okay, done. Well, I'd like to think that you're the master and I'm the apprentice, which is the perfect transition to another master versus apprentice situation where Benji Marshall took on former coach Wayne Bennett in the Dolphins-Tigers clash over the weekend. Now, Benji became the 12th player that Wayne has coached as a player and coached against as a coach. Wow. That alone, that stat to me is just awesome. It shows obviously how long Wayne's been in the game, but also I think a real testament to the impact that he's had when you see a player like Benji. Granted, a lot of Benji's time was at the Tigers and that's kind of where we draw a connection to him, but his time at South with Bennett and all of that is known as well, and that was obviously an important part of his career.
Yeah, really important part. I think they crossed paths on a few occasions. Like I think he also coached New Zealand for a period of time or was on the coaching staff, Wayne, that he crossed paths with Benji. I think a couple of All-Stars games they crossed paths as well. So, but, yeah, pretty special. Like, unbelievable that Wayne has coached 12 guys that he has coached against 12 guys that played for him.
Yeah.
It's wild. And you would have to think, I mean, if Wayne stays in the coaching game, that'll probably grow, I would assume.
You'd think so.
You know, I'd hate to know how many assistant coaches there are in the NRL that Wayne has coached, especially when you consider, you know, he was the Kangaroos coach, he was the Queensland coach, South, Broncos, Canberra, Dolphins. Like, he's just been around the place. Dragons, been around the place for so long. Like, if Dean Young gets a coaching job, that'll be another one.
Yeah.
Ben Hornby could be the coach of South Sydney within 2 weeks. That could be another one. Like, there are just so many guys. Jamie Soward's an assistant at the Dragons as well. Like, there are just so many guys in this league that Wayne has crossed paths with. I mean, his assistant coach right now is Nathan Fein, who he also coached as a player.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's really cool to see. And I think one thing that stands out in rugby league is that the coaching pathways are very clear. Mm. You see so many players pursue that after their career, because there is, I guess, this sense of unknown as to what players are going to do when their time is up on the field. Benji's a perfect example of that, because he transitioned almost effortlessly, you could say effortlessly, into coaching and all of that when there's a lot of pressure to perform. And I don't think you see that in as many codes, other codes, where that smooth transition to coaching. It's something that they're particularly good at in rugby league. But look, I'm obviously a Bennett fan. I miss him. We're in a bit of a debacle at South Sydney, and makes me reflect back on the good times with Bennett by our side. But there was also this image that came out of Bennett sitting on a Gatorade esky, looking incredibly disappointed after the Dolphins won against the Tigers. And there's loads of comments as to why he looked like that. Some said they may have won in score, but they didn't win in stats. And there was a lot of evidence that the Dolphins have a bit of work to do. But what were your thoughts when you saw Bennett sad after a win?
It's just hilarious, isn't it? Like, it's just the best. I like, even just listening to him in his press conference, like, he just doesn't give a fuck anymore. He's seen it all. He's done it all before. He just doesn't care. Yeah. He knows that he's already doing enough for the game as it is. He knows him just being alive still is doing enough for the game of rugby league. He knows whether it's going to South Sydney and rescuing them, whether it's going to the 18th club and to making them relevant, like, he knows he is just the absolute king. I'll tell you a story about Wayne and the way that he carries himself and whatnot. So my great uncle Kat, he was, you know, back in the day in the 80s and 90s, he was the head editor of Queensland Rugby League. And when he first got appointed the job back then, you know, this is before the Broncos had come into the league. So you had the Brisbane Rugby League, so you'd have all the teams up there. So essentially like the New South Wales Cup now, but it was big time up there. It was huge. So what he did is he spent a week driving and getting on planes and going around to every team in Queensland just to introduce himself and say, I'm the head editor, you know, Tony Durkin, nice to meet. Anyway, went around to all of them, and the last one he had to go to was Wayne Bennett. And he said that, mate, he went around to all these coaches, had a great time, had beers with them, had nights out, all put their arm around him, were fantastic. And, you know, it makes sense for them too, because he controls a lot of the media in Queensland, so he dictates the storylines. So it makes sense for them to be good mates with Tony. Gets to Wayne, and this is Wayne, like, he's a young guy, you know, he hasn't, you know, this isn't the Wayne we know today. He hasn't got, you know, 1,000 premierships under his belt and whatnot. Walks up to Wayne and says, puts his head out, says, I'm Tony Durkin, I'm the new Queensland head editor. And Wayne looks at his hand and goes, so? And just walks away. Unreal. Like, he is just the king of kings. And then, funnily enough, Tony ended up being, I think, the media manager for the Broncos for like 15 years with Wayne, and they just never saw eye to eye. And Wayne just always said to him, you do my job, I'll do mine. We don't need to be friends. Fuck it.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, that's wild. The type of interaction that would keep me awake at night.
For sure. But,
like, for a long time.
Yeah. Tony's a very confident rugby league guy as well, a champion fella too. But, yeah, I always just thought that was so – and, you know, there used to be – and, you know, they didn't really get along. But, like, I heard Matty Johns telling a story the other day that back when he was working at Channel 9 and he'd have to do the post-game interviews, he said that the Broncos were always the hardest because Wayne never wanted them to talk to anyone. So Matty Johns would stand out the front of the change room for 40 minutes or whatever waiting to get an interview, and Tony would be standing at the door. And he go, mate, just let me in. And Tony go, yeah, mate, once I've had a shower and everything, you can go in there, you can talk to him all you want. And then eventually Tony would get a call and he'd hang up and go, Matty, come in. And he'd open the door and the Broncos would already be on the bus and they'd be out of there.
Oh, they've taken the back door.
Yeah. And it was just like and that's just the way that Wayne functions. He would have all the journos and, like, this is Channel 9, Fox, waiting out the front. And then when they were all out, he'd ring Tony and say, yep, open the door. He opened the door to an empty changer.
I think all time. That is all time. But because that media side, right, is how the game is evolving to be so much more media focused and what is the entertaining part of the game. Bennett is back to basics. It's what happens on the field. It is not about what you say in an interview or how you carry yourself. I think that approach is rare to come by.
At the end of the day, that approach is outdated and really shit now. Yeah. But Wayne can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to get away with it. There is not another coach in the world that could get away with doing that.
Yeah.
But Wayne, he can just do what he wants, do it when he wants, and he will be able to do what he wants until the day he retires. Yeah,
because his results.
Yeah.
And it's funny, if a coach carried themselves like this and didn't get the results, they would be the most hated person in the game.
Yeah, and Wayne should be the most hated guy in the game for the way he carries himself, but everyone just loves him. I saw Scope and Mace talking the other day on Levels about Ray Warren potentially being like an immortal of the game. Man, I reckon Wayne should have he should be right up there for the stuff that he's done in the game and what he's achieved and just how long he's been just such an integral part of rugby league. I think Wayne should have a serious shout for that too.
Oh, I rate that. I rate that highly. Yeah. I think we won't have a lot of characters like Wayne in the future because I just think, like I said, that media first focus is just there. And any friends that I have that play any professional sport, media training is a huge part of that. And if players are turning coaches, that's going to be the evolution of the coach as well. You know, being able to talk and entertain and do all that kind of stuff. So I think we've got to enjoy Wayne while he's around and just take in whatever he's willing to give us.
Yeah, and I think the other thing with Wayne you need to keep in mind, and, you know, I went up to the Dolphins the other day, right?
Mm.
And the amount of people that had stories about Wayne, like personal stories from the people working behind the bar to the people working at the bistro it's obvious that Wayne is a very, very good person. Yeah. He takes care of the people that are around him. I can't imagine another, and I hope I'm wrong, but I can't imagine another waitress working at the bistro at the Leagues Club that has stories to tell about the first grade coach.
No.
And the way she was talking to me about him was they obviously have regular interactions because Wayne's that sort of a guy.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And I remember Latrell Mitchell even in an interview spoke about the efforts that Bennett had gone to connect with him on a personal level, visiting his farm and connecting with his family. And those are the things that matter at the end of the day. And that's what you need from a coach. You don't need a coach to be able to deliver a perfect post-match interview. What you need is for a coach to be able to deliver the strategy and create connections with the players in the right way and in the way that brings out their best.
Yeah, we had Jamie Soward on the potty last year. He told a really good story about Wayne that when they went over in 2010 for the World Club Challenge, I believe Wayne's mother was sick, so he didn't actually go with him. He stayed home. Jamie went over there and I think they were up 20-14, so they're up by six and there was about 5 minutes to go and Jamie got the ball and he'd look to his left and they had an overlap. They had about a three-man overlap, which if they went through the hands, they almost definitely score. But Jamie also had time and Jamie obviously had one of the best boots in rugby league of all time. So he just hit a field goal, right? So put him up by seven with about 5 minutes to go or whatever. Anyway, all of his teammates blew up, mate. We had the advantage. What are you doing? Pass the ball. And Jamie just said to me, he's like, mate, I had so much confidence in my own ability and I had so much confidence in our team to defend a seven-point lead because of what Wayne had instilled in us that passing was probably the right play. But I knew that I was going to hit that field goal. I knew I wouldn't miss it from there. So why wouldn't I take it? Anyway, coaching staff blew up and they all lost it. He gets a call from Wayne after. And Wayne goes, why'd you kick the field goal? And he goes, oh, well, I knew if we were up by seven, we weren't going to concede more than one try, so I knew we couldn't lose. And he goes, yeah, sweet. I'll see you in a few weeks. Bye. And hung up. And that was it. And Jamie just hung up and went, okay, the greatest coach of all time has my back. Even if I don't come up with the perfect play, he backs the decision that I make.
God, I love that.
Yeah, it's unreal.
That's such a good story.
Yeah.
And I think it's also Wayne probably heard the conviction in his voice and said, he knew what he was doing and he had a plan and he had a vision and that's all that matters.
And Jamie is such a good example of just if Wayne Bennett didn't wander into his life at the right time, Jamie's career could have just been – it would have been so different. And I don't know if Jamie would have played another 50 first grade games, honestly.
Wow.
Like had Wayne not been – I mean that with all due respect to Jamie. But he just brought the – I'm sure he would have played a lot more first grade, but I think Wayne just brought the absolute best out of Jamie Soward by far and away. And you hear the way that Jamie talks about him, it really is incredible.
I love that. That's awesome. It's really nice to hear that. And I think, like we said, Bennett, he's – different gravy.
Different gravy.
And it'll be interesting to see who has the next Bennett type style in coaching. Cause I just think, like you said, it's probably not going to be the style of many coaches in the future. One more story before we get to the favorite part of the catch up, which is Guess Roo, because of course, guys, we've got the Guess Roo coming for you. But I just want to briefly touch on WrestleMania that happened over the weekend. Now, I have this belief that there's only two types of people. There's the people that make WrestleMania a literal personality trait because they love it that much, and the people who do not care or know anything about it. I don't really think there's anything in the middle. Where do you fit?
Oh, I don't know anything about that. Great. I don't have the slightest fucking clue in any way, shape or form.
Well, that's good because your doppelganger, NRL Rose, he sorted it for you. So yeah. I want to call out the content that he did on his page over the weekend because WrestleMania was happening and obviously the NRL was happening. Every single post he did was WrestleMania inspired. And so please go have a look. I'll put a few of the images up while I'm talking, but just being able to draw a connection to this, he is so talented with this. And I think, like I said, because so many people did care about it and were watching it over the weekend, I just thought he tapped into such a good niche in the social media world.
Honestly, like Roshi's one of my good mates, obviously, but like, he is just an absolute genius. Yeah. I really think people underappreciate minds like his and like Kempe's that can just see something in an instant and just piece together something that is relevant to so many people at once. Even this WrestleMania stuff. Like, I've got no interest in it whatsoever, but just the way that Roasty does it, it actually did get me a little bit interested in what was going on.
Same. And
he makes you – the way that Roasty does things, the way he delivers things – he almost makes you feel like you're missing out on something.
Yeah, the king of FOMO.
Yeah, the king of FOMO. FOMO. And you know, like I've obviously spent a lot of time with Roasty, and like he doesn't like for me, like I could talk rugby league underwater in the most dribbly fucking fashion of all time. Roasty's not really like that. Like he likes rugby league, but he doesn't love rugby league. Mm. What he loves is the stuff around rugby league,
the culture.
He absolutely nails it. He is just an absolute genius at it. Like I could catch up with a beer with Roasty for 4 hours and talk about content, but actually not talk about footy at any point. He is an absolute genius, and the way he goes about things is just incredible. I've been saying to him a long time, I want him to move to Sydney. I want him to move into this studio.
I want to work with him too.
I think the other side of Roasty that people don't see, he's a father of two fantastic girls, husband.
He's incorporating in some of his content, which is really nice.
Yeah, Roast. Yeah, it's unreal. I was actually, when I was in Vegas, Kat, we went to the fan fest one night, and Roasty was there with his daughters just in the crowd. He didn't come in like the media section with us because, as I said, you know, big family man, took his whole family to Vegas, which was unreal. And I saw him after, so I went and said hello to the girls and stuff and his wife and everything. And then as I walked away, you know, the five of the drunkest humans I've ever seen came up to me and were like, hey, what's going on? I was like, oh, they're like, oh. They said something about like me looking like Roasty, and I was like, oh, Roasty's actually over there. And then they just inundated him, and I was like,
you felt bad.
God, I feel awful.
Yeah, he's like trying to enjoy a wholesome time with his family, and you
said it was like watching a scene of Bambi, and then I sent these five drunk galoots over there to annoy him, and they stayed there for like half an hour. I was like, shit.
Well, I'm sure he'll get you back in Magic Ground when the same thing happens.
Yeah, doesn't miss Magic Ground, Roasty.
And neither are we.
No, we're going to be there. Super exciting. Need
Very
to actually
excited for that.
Talk to you about that after.
Yeah, we need to work out what we're going to do.
It's not Magic Round, it's Caxton Round too, Kat.
Ooh,
brace yourself for Caxton Round merch coming soon.
I love it. Well, WrestleMania was massive. Corey Rhodes ended Roman Reigns' historic long-term kind of world champion status, and that's all I'm going to say on that because neither of us are WrestleMania people, but I just thought I would tie the knot on that one.
If you had to name like some wrestlers – no one at all. So like, I still remember like Booker T, Batista, I think it was.
Yeah.
Obviously like The Rock too, The Undertaker.
You took mine was The Rock.
The Rock, yeah. Rey Mysterio was a good one
Rey
as
Mysterio,
well.
Everyone.
John Cena, obviously.
So there's so many that have entered just general kind of like Hollywood fame, right?
Yeah.
Like we all know they've got a background in wrestling, but they're not – I don't even think it counts.
I'll tell you who is actually my favorite wrestler. Shout out to Daniel Vito. Remember him from the Brisbane Broncos? He's gone over there and he's part of it now.
Vito. I do know about this, but I'll be completely honest, similar to you with wrestling. I actually going to get real honest right now. Wrestling scared me as a kid.
Yeah, it was pretty full on.
I used to cry when it was on the TV. I know that sounds wild, but I used to find the aggression and stuff. I didn't understand it. I was like, why does everybody hate each other so much? And it used to make me cry. So I didn't really get around it for that reason. But I'm older now and I can see the bigger picture.
So Daniel Vito is still doing the thing over there, is he? Shout out to him. What an incredible knock to go from a Canberra Raiders and Broncos winger to, I assume it's in the WWE. I mean, I've just found a picture of him talking to The Rock, which is unbelievable. Pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah. Do you know what? If I had to, you know how they ask the who would you have at a dinner question? Yeah. The Rock's on my table.
I thought you were going to say Daniel Vito. The Rock would be. Yeah, Rock would be cool.
Let me ask you then. Who would be on your table if you could have, let's say, four people? So there's a table of five. You're one of them. Who's on your table? I'm one of them.
Jerry Seinfeld would be one for me.
Strong.
I'm a huge Seinfeld fan. I just fucking froth Jerry. So I'd love to have him. I'd probably have Matty Johns there. Just find Matty Johns hilarious and I'd love to pick his brain for a bit. Those two, I would have an actor there who's one of my favourites of all time, who, funnily enough, talking about Wayne Bennett, I'd have Clint Eastwood.
Oh, that's great.
I love Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Love everything that he does. What have I got? One more spot?
Yeah.
Tough. One more spot. Who would I go for? Probably need someone to have a bit of fun with, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Maybe a bit of a party animal.
Ooh.
I'll tell you who I'd have. You're going to hate this. I'd have my mum there.
Why would I have that?
Oh, I just thought you'd think,
I think that's
lame.
Beautiful.
Love to have mumsy with me.
Your mum's gorgeous. I love that. I would have your mum at my table. My mum's just crying listening to that.
Yeah, it's nice stuff. A couple of brownie points in there.
I really echo your choices. The Jerry Seinfeld one, brilliant. Mm. I was also raised on Seinfeld. So he actually weirdly his sarcasm reminds me a lot of my dad. I'd add Spanion to that because Spanion, for me, I always think – every room he walks into, he would impact one way or another. Yeah. He's so interesting to me. I watch all his stuff. My brother is like a finance bro, completely different to me.
Yeah.
Where our Venn diagrams overlap is Spanion. Spanion. We are both so interested in Spanion.
Yeah, it's good content, isn't it, what he does? Obviously he's turned a lot of his life around and whatnot, but I find him very intriguing. Spanion.
I think what he's doing too for Australia, it's not just Australia because he's traveled the world kind of telling the stories of the ghettos and the poorer areas from each region. Mm. But I think what he's done for the Australian version of that is unreal, bringing a lot of attention to what's happening in Alice Springs. I saw him then get interviewed on the radio and everything, kind of explaining it in more detail. But I feel like he's actually sparked a lot of conversation at a higher level around what do we do for these communities.
Yeah, and I think for a long time, and I'm just talking completely off the dome, don't know Spanion at all, obviously, but I think that like for a long time he sort of kept a bit of an image like – he wasn't the smartest guy. It was a bit of a knockabout and everything. But I think the more I watch him, I think he's a fucking genius. I think he knows what he's doing every step of the way.
I think so too. Yeah, no, I'm a very big fan of him. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. And if it's not that it's that thought out, I think if anything, he's very authentic and he does not say or do things that he doesn't fully believe in. And I think that shows the more content you create and the more you go down that route and that path, people will smell out the lack of authenticity, but there's none of that with him.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd add Denzel Washington or like a Robert Downey Jr., maybe a Johnny Depp. I just feel like those kinds of actors just have great stories too.
Actually, unfortunately, I'm going to have to kick Mum off my table.
Oh, no, not Mama.
Yeah, no, she's been uninvited. I would have to invite Will Ferrell.
Mm.
I couldn't possibly leave him off the table.
Oh, my gosh. He is so funny.
He is the absolute all-time king. Adam Sandler would be up there for me too, but I just think Will Ferrell, man, he's just
maybe we'll do the like if we combine tables, we can have
tables. Yeah. You mentioned The Rock before, and you know what? I'm going to blame Tom and Eddie on this, but about 2 years ago or so, they made a point of just pointing out just the real Magoo things that The Rock does, and now I just can't unsee it. I look at him completely differently now.
So would. by saying that, would you remove him from the table?
He wouldn't be at my table.
Okay.
I'm always in the spot there. I'm the Rock. He'd have a very interesting story. I'm sure he's a great guy, but just some of the stuff, and it's all because of Tom and Eddie, some of the shit they've pointed out. It's just, yeah, I don't look at him the same anymore.
That's fair enough. I get that. Look, I think we could go on forever because
yes.
there's a lot of rugby league faces or Australian sporting people that I'd have at my table, but maybe this is a whole episode in itself.
I'll tell you the other one that I know that we just said we weren't going to. The other one I would seriously consider would be Tom Brady to.
Oh, yes.
TB12. I think that'd be a very, very good chat.
That would be, that would be really interesting. But you'd have to pay a bit of bicky to get him, I think.
Yeah, and he might not even show up. Yeah. Anywho.
Yeah, don't that's what TB we've 12. Heard. All right.
Please don't.
Now, I wonder if the guest roo person is someone you'd have at your table. But we won't know until we've done the guest roo.
Yeah, so for people that haven't seen a guest roo before, if you're new to the show, Kat's got a question. Have you done this one or has someone sent this one in?
This is another one that's been sent in.
Ooh, unreal. Love that. So it's a current player or former player?
Former.
Former, cool.
Yeah.
Had to have played at least 50 NRL games. Kat's going to read me out a couple of clues and I've got to try and guess who it is, so...
All right, let's proceed. So firstly, thanks to Rion Greaves for sending this one in. Riri with 7777 is his account. Okay.
Big halfback guy.
Big halfback guy. Okay. Clue number one. Are we ready?
Yep, let's do it. Laptop's away. No cheating.
Everything's away. Okay. One, he made his debut in the NRL in 1995.
1995, so pre-Super League. Yep.
He was born in 1976.
Oh, for the love of God. Okay. Oh, so what does that mean? He made his debut when he was 19?
Yes.
Yep. Sweet.
Or 21.
That's pretty. Yeah, 21.
Yeah. It's okay. I'm here for the quick math.
Yeah.
1995, no, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm embarrassed.
I'm right. Yeah, he's 19. Yeah, I'm embarrassed. Anyway. I was going
to
call it up.
And I had the audacity to say, leave the maths to me.
Yeah, you said it very confidently too. Yeah, you just made me assume I was wrong. That was good. I back that.
Well, girl math, I always take a couple of years off, even though I added years. Anyway, moving on. He has a twin brother. Sorry, he has twin brothers over 6 foot.
He has twin brothers that are over 6 foot.
Mm.
How the fuck is that going to help me? Okay.
This is so Rion, okay.
Debuted at 19 in 1995 and he has twin brothers that are over 6 foot. I wonder if that, like, if the twin brothers played footy, maybe. It's weird to mention they're over 6 foot, but is that indicating that he's a big bit of gear as well, maybe? I'm just thinking out loud here. I'm not asking for any extra clues, Kathmandu. The catalyst.
The catalyst.
Okay, next.
Moving on. Played 2 years in Super League before retiring in 2007.
Played 2 years in the Super League before retiring in 2007 and debuted in 1995, retired in 07. Jeez, that's going to be tough. Okay, Super League doesn't really help me that much, does it? No. Okay, what's next?
First and only lifetime member of an NRL club.
Oh, give me a fucking team, you prick. What's going on here?
I mean, I could give you a
okay. First and only. No, we'll stick to his clues. First and only. What was it? First and only.
Lifetime member of an NRL club. NRL club.
NRL club. Okay.
So he played in the NRL for one club. Let me just help you.
So he was a one club man.
One club
man. But I don't know which club that is yet. Did he when he retired in 07, was it with that club or was it in England?
He retired. Technically, he retired in England.
Yep.
But he spent the majority of his life or his playing career with one club.
Okay, and he played with that club from 1995 to 2005.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Sweet. Okay. So. Can rule out anyone that played for South Sydney during that period. 1995 to 2000.
See, I do think you know who it is. I have all the faith in the world that you know who it is. Do you want to know the final clue, Mike.
No, I don't even have a player in mind at the moment, to be completely honest with you. I feel a little bit stumped. Give me another clue.
Well, I'll give you a clue of my own. You've actually said his name in this episode.
I've already said his name in this episode.
And you caught me off guard when you said his name because I didn't see that coming, but you said his name.
So he played 1995 to 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to England for 2 years.
Yeah, for a season.
For a season. And he played for one club and I mentioned him today. What did we talk about today? We spoke about – I told that story about Tony Durkin. I don't think – was there any players involved in that? I don't think there was. Then I spoke about Wayne Bennett, the guys that he coached.
Do you want to know one more clue?
Yeah, give me one more.
That he had a nickname? The Little General.
Ah. Stacey Jones had twin brothers that were over.
According to Rion.
Yeah, right. That has not helped me at all.
Well, you still got him.
Yeah, but I should have got that earlier. I'll tell you what, it's hard when you don't give a team. When you give no, which is good. I like it. Bloody hard when you give it no context of a team there. So go through the clues again. He debuted 95.
Yep.
Yeah, they made it through Super League.
So it was Auckland Warriors before it was New Zealand, obviously before it was New Zealand Warriors. And then he moved to my favourite team, the Catalans Dragons.
Dragons, yeah.
We've discussed that there's a real missed opportunity there with me being Catalans Dragons. But anyway, next season. He did actually return for the 2009 season with New Zealand Warriors.
That's the one I was watching in Vietnam.
Yeah. Which is where you mentioned that you had seen Stacey Jones. And I was like, he's going to get this so quickly. But I think that the clues made that quite difficult.
Yeah, but you know what? I liked that he picked a very famous player and he made the clues hard. Yeah. Instead of picking an absolute nobody, he picked somebody that was a fucking superstar and just made the clues tough. I really liked that. Yeah. We've got our art design on the wall of the O2 Grand Final, and the warrior on the wall is wearing Stacey Jones's boots from that game.
There you go.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, Stacey Jones, what a great – really underrated Stacey. I think when people look back and they talk about – you know, for me, when I think about the early 2000s, like it's all about Freddie, Joey, Lockie. Mm. I think Stacey should be included in those four as well because – fuck, he was a good footballer.
Yeah, because also I'll be honest, my knowledge of that period of footy is not great because I didn't grow up around it or like parents talking about it or dad watching or whatever, but that's a name that I've always known.
Outside of like those big three or the best three players in the game, the next guy that could always compete with those guys was always Stacey.
Yeah, and you said was the 6 foot twin brothers alluding to him being tall. He was only 170.
Why that was relevant.
He is only 172 centimetres.
Yeah, the Little General. I like that. That's interesting. 6 foot. Wow.
Yeah.
Stacey Jones could play.
5 foot eight.
5 foot eight.
Can I tell you something funny? I had a reply to my Instagram story yesterday just saying, you're so short. Like, what's going on?
Me or you?
Me. And I said, well, how tall do you think I am? And this guy replied, 5'10 easy. Do I really look like I'm 5'10?
How tall are you?
I'm between 5'4 and 5'5.
Yeah, right. That's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that because height is apparently an illusion.
I find it really interesting in like, especially in content, because we do stuff with players and stuff, like people always find our heights really hard to
predict. Decipher.
Like people are a little bit surprised when they meet me that I am I'm not really short, but I'm certainly not fucking tall.
Mm.
Kempy's the same. He's a lot – like he's not as tall as what he looks on camera. And I think like the thing that's really
and
thrown –
And Timmy – but Timmy is taller than I expected.
Yes, Timmy's taller than you expect. I think too like the like Horro and Isaac John and those – like all those guys are giants. Because they're only ever next to each other, you don't realise.
I didn't expect Justin Horro to be so tall.
Hoz is a monster. Yeah. He's huge. Normie's enormous. He's huge. Even Tom and Eddie are massive.
Yeah, they're both really tall.
Tom and Eddie are heaps tall.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it?
But you just because you only see them sitting in seats next to each other at the same height, you don't realise how tall they are. But like Tom and Eddie and Hoz, obviously, Willie Mason, he's as big as you would expect. He's a monster. You should have seen him in Vegas, stood out like a fucking...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sore thumb, a thumb in agony.
When we were on the NFL cruise, like you could just at all times you knew where Willie Mason was.
Lukey's the same. Lukey's a big bit of gear.
Yeah.
It always shocks me how because you see Lukey next to the other YKTR guys and you think he's quite short, but he's very tall, Lukey. Mm,
yeah, it's funny. I feel like, once again, being in the content space, I've always had, whenever people meet me in real life, they always say, you're shorter than I expected.
Yeah.
And I just think that's so funny. Like, I'm giving tall vibes, but she's not a tall girl.
I'll tell you who was the last person I would throw into our at the table chat. And this will sound ridiculous to people, but the more time I spend with him, the more I think he might be the funniest human I've ever met for little comments and subtle things. Hammy.
Oh, 100%.
Mate, Hammy as a dinner guest is unreal.
He's so fun. Actually, he was one of the ones that requested Dom Young shirtless as well.
Of course he was.
For the record, yeah.
Man, he said something yesterday on Bloke that absolutely broke me. And it was like mid-show and I had my serious face on. I mentioned how seeing the Panthers game, Liam Henry got knocked out and he was in the ruck unconscious and the ref didn't realise, so he penalised him for lying in the ruck and he was unconscious. And I mentioned the game yesterday. I said, how about poor old Liam Henry got penalised for being unconscious? Hammy straight away goes, yeah, well, the NRL is really clamping down on that sort of stuff this season. It just absolutely broke me. It took me like so 5 minutes to recover.
No, he's so witty.
It was good. Unreal.
Well, that's it. That's all we got.
How good. Honestly, Kat mentioned at the start, the episode she's got lined up for you guys over the next few weeks is going to be all time. I'm so excited for
that. I'm really looking forward to it. And in fact, we need to wrap up this convo because I'm receiving a call about that.
Yes, take it. Okay.
Very soon. Thank you guys. Capiche. We'll, as always, send in your guest roos because that is, I think that was a great one, Stacey Jones. You set the bar for making it hard, but feel free to send in some more that we can used to test Guru. And then on top of that, send through any clips that you want us to react to or anything that you want us to kind of dive into, have a conversation about. Love when it comes from you guys. We'll see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.